Boy. Really, really, really. I enjoyed that. Now, you start out with that, you know, the As a Deer Panteth, that's one of my favorites, and you just transition that right into that. Just beautiful. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. That was great. That was good. Yeah, all the time. That was all the time. That was great. That was great. Wasn't Christmassy though. Well, I'm just, you know, Christmas in July. Did you not notice that?
Give him praise.
All right, all right, all right.
Giving him praise.
Deer for Christmas.
Yeah.
So deer.
Deer.
You see how we tied that in?
I didn't. Thank you. I appreciate that. Reindeer, deer. Yeah. All right. I'll try to.
You're my friend. You're
maybe,
my brother.
Maybe I should get back to my notes if we're going to start this
even
way.
Even though you are a king.
Yeah, king. Okay. You guys are stretching it, but that's all right. I see, you know, Christmas in July is just such a great, great thing. The whole time, though, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking Christmas, okay? I'm remembering Andreas. He was like 5 years old or something. And we're at dinner, all right? And it's right before Christmas Eve, I think. It was before Christmas Eve or something. And so he pipes up and he says, "Dad, are you going to let us enjoy Christmas this year or are you going to preach?" And it just stayed in the back of my mind, you know. Anytime you're going to celebrate Christmas, maybe you should keep the sermon shorter, all right? Because he's like wanting to get out to, you know, celebrate Christmas and things like that. Love you, son. So the wise men are on a journey, but we're in the summertime. And so I thought I would try to bring us around to this by thinking about in terms of our family summer vacation road trips with children. You ever do that? You ever do it at least once, right? You do it at least once. You take a summer road trip with your children, and your children ask interesting questions. Like, "So did that nice police officer give Daddy a ticket to Disney?" Or, "Are Mommy's driving words in the Bible?" Or, "What does it mean when you use your finger like that?" And then, of course, you get the question, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Does this look like Disney World to you? Are we there yet?" "Yes, we are. Grandma has moved into Big Bubba's Barbecue Bait and Gas Store." "Are we there yet?" "Yes, that's why we got the flat tire right here, so we wouldn't miss it." "Are we there yet?" "No, and we're never going to get there, because although I'm driving the car, you're driving me crazy by asking me the same question all the time, so I'm just going to go back home." I've never said that, but I've thought it. I've thought it. Boy, it's difficult sometimes, these road trips and the questions that we get. And I'm wondering if the wise men, you know, they're coming a long way. And they're coming a long way, and they show up in Jerusalem, and they're thinking, finally, are we there yet? The whole time they're going around, "Are we there yet? No, the stars still move. Are we there yet? No, the stars. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we ever going to get there?" The Bible doesn't tell us if there was any bickering, but when I was growing up, when we took family road trips, okay, see, nowadays there's iPads and DVD players and things like that, but some of you are old enough to know it wasn't always so nice, all right? It wasn't always like that, right? You had what? You had AM radio, okay, and a window. No AC. All right, no AC, all right, and a lot of bickering and a lot of fidgeting, you know. "He's on my side, she's touching me, he's making faces, she stuck out her tongue." You know how it goes, right? "I have to go to the bathroom, I want a drink, I'm hot, I'm bored, I'm squished, it was my turn by the window." You know how it goes? Remember back in those days? Back in those days they didn't have seatbelts, they didn't have those headrests. Ken Davis talks about a time when he was driving his kids and they were driving him crazy like that. But he's a big guy. He could just reach back there. He says, it didn't matter if I got the right one. I was just going to get somebody, you know. Just reach back there. And he was talking about that in a church one time. You know how it is in church when you try to be human? You always have Miss Self-Righteous or Mr. Pious come up to you afterwards saying, well, I never do anything like that. You know, and so he was being scolded by this woman that he had shared his testimony, how he had reached in the back seat, you know. And he politely listened, you know. And then there was an older gentleman coming up the aisle. He could see him coming. He was like 90 years old, had the finger wagging, you know. So he waits for the guy to make it all the way up to him with his finger, getting ready to be scolded, he's sure. And the man says, tap on the brakes. It brings them into range. It won't work today. I've tried it. The seatbelts keep them secure. And I'm too short. I can't reach over the headrest. And my kids are bigger than me, so it wouldn't work well. The wise men working so hard and getting on each other's nerves and trying to know if they were ever going to get there. And they finally show up at Jerusalem and they're thinking, we made it. We've made it. We've not made it. They're not there yet. They're not there yet. And so they get their bearings and they get their directions. Men actually stopping for directions. That's the miracle in the Bible right there. And they get the directions. And I can't help but wonder if instead of, after all those times of asking, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? When they showed up in Bethlehem and saw Jesus, if they did not turn to each other and say, if we've arrived, what's this? This is it? This is what we've traveled all those miles for? This is the perilous journey, all those strange people, that jealous king, all of that sand, the camels, the smell, everything else, and this is it? This is what we've traveled for? See, when you read the Bible, one of the problems that the people of God had was, first of all, they kept praying for the Messiah. When are you going to send the Messiah? We need the Messiah. We want the Messiah. And they had that challenge before them. But then when Jesus was born, they were saying, this is it? Remember, they were so surprised. This was not at all what they had envisioned. They're thinking of a Messiah. They're thinking of some mighty warrior who's going to overthrow Rome, reestablish Israel, and all the world will come to Mount Zion. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to work. That's how you know when the Messiah arrives, when all of this happens. And Jesus comes, and he's preaching love for those who do not love you. He's preaching compassion for those who are different. He's preaching a kingdom of inclusiveness for all people. And the people of God were scratching their heads saying, this can't be right. This can't be it. This isn't it. This is it. Like the wise men showing up at Bethlehem, this is it. This is the king. The people of God saying, this is the Messiah? We know what this is like. It's been 2,000 years and we still sometimes struggle about this whole concept of the kingdom of God. We want to say, this is it? This is the kingdom of God? God, 2,000 years, this is it? It's kind of like in The Lion King. Remember the movie Lion King? When Timon, when Simba, they finally show up there, okay, in the Pride Land. And remember what Timon turned to Simba and says, this is it? Talk about your fixer-uppers. This is the kingdom of God? Look at us. 2,000 years. And we're still struggling to find a way to show the world the vision that God has for His creation. It's difficult. It's hard. We all know the stories. We hear the claims. If Jesus truly was the Son of God, why is the world in such a mess? If the church is really part of the body of Christ, why is the world such a mess? If God really does love all people, why do we hate each other so much? This is it. This is it. We come into God's house. We hear beautiful, inspiring music. We hear God's words and the promises written there. And we know that outside these walls there's still pain and suffering and all kinds of injustice and starvation and terrible things out there and wars and conflicts and hatred. And we come into God's house and we recognize that there's also pain and suffering inside as well. In our own hearts, right where Jesus lives, we continue to struggle with fear and anger and loneliness and grief. We continue to hunger and thirst for good news. We want so much for there to be peace and love and joy, not just in the world, but in the church and in our communities and even in our families and in our lives. It's difficult, this journey that we're on, because the answer to "Are we there yet?" is yes and no. We are there. God did send Jesus to redeem the world and continues to redeem the world through us. The birth of Jesus is not just a historical event. It's a current event, one we celebrate every time we give God a chance to give birth to hope and love and life within us. Every single moment of our lives, there is a chance for the kingdom of God to be born anew within us. Every day, every moment, God continuing to work with us to build His kingdom, to show the world that not only did He send a Redeemer, that Redeemer continues to be active and alive and working through us as the body of Christ to share these words, these gifts that we celebrate not just at Christmas, but every day we allow Jesus to be born alive within our hearts. Amen.